Please turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, and verse 2. We'll be reading that in a few minutes. I'd like to thank the congregation here for giving me the opportunity to speak this evening while Tim is away for a gospel meeting. I hope things we'll talk about this evening is something I've never done before, but I'd like to do it because I want to try to make us think. Years ago, 36 years ago, me and two other brothers were standing here in this building talking one night. The fact is that we're talking about how maybe to get people to start thinking about their soul a little bit more earnestly, a little bit more desire and trying to do what's right. And one thing that we brought up is maybe try to drive home the point of death. And we talked about what would it be like if it was possible if we could rent a casket and put it down here in front of us and see what people, how they would react. And matter of fact, I had a brother in there at that time tell me he knew a preacher that did that. He went out and he knew the man down at the funeral home and rented out a casket and did put it up in front of the pew, but they had it closed. And the congregation came in that Sunday morning. They couldn't figure out who passed away. Well, came to it that about the time for services to take up, he went down, raised the lid, and he asked each one of the members if they would quietly make their respect. Well, it turned out that every time somebody went and looked inside the casket, there's a mirror, and they seen themselves. And what I want you to do this evening, and scriptures bear up, we need to discuss this. And especially it's kind of hard for me at this time to speak on this because what we're about to go through it. But the fact is, we really need to seriously think about it. And I'm going to prepare two lessons. And I'm not going to comment much about it. I'm just going to go through them. And we're going to study the verses. But I'm just going to read them. You think about these things. I'm going to preach one for a non-member. I'm going to preach one for a member. I want you to think about which one fits you and how it applies to you and how you stand before God at this time. Ecclesiastes 7th chapter, verse 2, it says, "It is better to go to the house of the mourning than go to the house of the feasting. For that is the end of all men. The living will lay it to his heart." Verse 3 says, "Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance of the heart is made better." It makes you think. When we talk about death and mourning, it makes you think. It makes you have a desire to question the things you're doing. How you stand before God. And that's what we need to do. And that's what we're going to do this evening. Now, my comments, I'm going to try to leave them out. Just go through the sermon as one that is a non-member. Now, try to picture this. Casket in front of you. A loved one. And then apply. We were reminded of the uncertainty and brevity of life. Life is short. James, the 4th chapter, verse 14, talks about how a vapor appears for a little time, then vanishes away. But please turn with me to Psalms. The 103rd chapter, I'd like to read verses 15 and 16. "As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall not know it no more." Likewise, the Psalms, the 9th chapter, and begin at verse 10. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. If by reason of strength, they be 80 years. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For as soon cut off, we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thy anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us the number of our days that we may apply to our hearts and to wisdom. Because of the good health practice and diets and exercise, we may live a little longer. Yet the greatest thing we can do is try to contemplate death and prepare ourselves to die. Because at death, the Spirit returns to God as He gave it. We should live every day as though it was our last, for it very well may be. Hebrews 9th chapter, verse 27, it is appointed to all men to die, once to die. Although we usually try to keep this thought far from our mind, especially today, we are made to realize that someday we must also step from this life into another, as for how it ends. Each of us will have our individual funeral conducted. We may ask ourselves, what memories will I leave? What will my loved ones, my friends feel? Most importantly, where will my destiny be? Since we cannot evade death, since we really never more than one step from eternity, we must prepare ourselves to meet God. Life is precious. Happiness, joy, and peace are far too valuable to be neglected or be lost while rushing after material things that at best last only a few days. Job said, naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. In 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, and beginning verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. When death strikes us near us, do we really see how much we need our Lord? We need Him to save us from our sinfulness. We need Christ and God to lead us safely through life, to give us the strength and comfort, to be with us when we walk through the valley of shadows of death. Jesus passed by means of death to the other world and came back again. If we turn to Acts, the 2nd chapter, and beginning with verse 31, we see in this the spake of the resurrection of Christ, that His soul was not left in hell, neither His flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Jesus is the answer, the revelation, and the comfort that we can have regarding death. Let us be comforted within our Lord. In 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and beginning verse 13. 1 Thessalonians, 4th chapter. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and with the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with our Lord. The fact that we need to always remember that when we go down the valley, one by one, when we die, Christ has overcome death. And we can too. Revelation, the 2nd chapter, and beginning at verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and a stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saying that he receiveth it. We can read verse 26 and 27, chapter 3, and verse 5, verses 12 and 21. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Yeah, we need to all realize that all of us are busy every day writing our history of our lives. After each hour, we write a paragraph. After each day, we write a page. After each week, we write a division. After each year, we write a chapter. And at the end, we finish the book. Army chaplain was ministering to a dying boy in World War II. He asked if there was a message he would like to send home. The young man replied, "Yes, tell Mom and Dad I died happy. Also tell my Bible class teacher that I died a Christian. I have never forgotten his teaching." A few weeks later, the Army chaplain received a letter from the Bible class teacher. The letter said, "God have mercy upon me. Only last month I resigned from teaching Bible classes, for I felt that my teaching was not doing any good. And scarcely had I, though through my cowardly, faithless heart, given up my appointed work, when I got your letter telling me that my teaching had been the means of winning a soul to God. I'm taking up my work again. In Christ's name, I'll be faithful to the end." That would be a lesson that I would try to give to one that is not a member, trying to get those who are alive at that time to hear God's word. You need to open up your heart. You need to receive it. You need to become obedient to God's will. And we need to understand that. And that the fact that we as Christians, and when we get to the one that is a Christian, the fact that we need to depend upon God, we need to rely upon Him more often than we do. And the fact that we need to get people to understand that we have some type of influence on others by the way we live, by the things we do in our daily life. This teacher thought she had done nothing. She wasn't getting her lessons across. But she eventually found out this young man became a Christian because of what she'd done, how she lived her life. We need to understand that if you're not a member of the body of Christ, you have eternal damnation for your judgment. Now, I'm not trying to pass judgment. I'm just telling you what the Scriptures teach. Now, the funeral sermon for a Christian, again, we return to James, 4th chapter, verses 13 and 14, where it talks about how life is short. James, 4th chapter. Again, verse 13. "Go to now that ye say, today or tomorrow we will go to such a city and continue in there a year, buy and sell, get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time that vanisheth away." We can read again the Psalms we just read, Psalms 103, verses 15 and 16, Psalms 90, verses 10 through 12. We can go through exercise and prolong our life a little bit. But Genesis, the first chapter, verse 26, states the fact that we were made in the image of God. We have an eternal spirit or soul. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and verse 9. "Furthermore, we have a father of our flesh, which corrected us. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Ecclesiastes, 12th chapter, verse 6 and 7, states the fact that when we die, the spirit will return to God who gave it. Matthew, the 16th chapter, and beginning with verse 24, states the fact there's nothing more precious than what we have, our soul. Matthew 16 and verse 24. If any man shall come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. When this old world passes by, the only thing that will remain is God and His people. Physical death, which is inevitable for all of us, is something that most people fear with and dread. We sometimes hate to talk about death. Sometimes we hate to talk about getting life insurance, because that means we're looking for death to come. With our limitations, death never, under any circumstance, seems to be a precious thing. However, we need to try to view the things that God does. The death of God's saint, or a Christian, rather than being senseless sin, is a crowning glory. Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Second Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not with, for that we have been unclothed, but clothed upon, that morality might be swallowed up alike. I'll drop down to verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. The child of God simply changes worlds. That's all it is. We're passing from this physical life, something that is temporal, we're going to something that is eternal. He goes from one form that is being darkened by sin to one where he can be with the glory of God and light forever. The fact that we are now filled with pain and suffering and agony, we can go to one that we can have for eternity of happiness. Turn with me to Revelation, the 7th chapter. And beginning with verse 16. They shall hunger no more, nor thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light upon them, or any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them into living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Chapter 14 of Revelation. And verse 13. And I heard the voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the day which die upon the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Lord, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Again, in chapter 21 of Revelation, in verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow or crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. In spite of this, sorrow always hovers over us as we stand in the presence of the death. In a time as such, where we say, where can I go to the Lord? God is all comfort. In 2 Corinthians, 1st chapter, and verse 3. 2 Corinthians, 1st chapter, and verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of mercies, and God of all comfort. We need to listen to them comforting words. If we read in 1 Thessalonians, 4th chapter, verses 13 through 18 a few minutes ago, the fact that we know we can be resurrected, but Christ rose from the dead. And those who died in Christ will also likewise rise. Jesus Christ came to this earth to gain victory over death. He willingly went to the cross as a sacrificial lamb, raised up by the power of God in victory over death. He allowed His saints to share in that victory, and according to 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, beginning at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put in immortality. So when this corruptible shall be put in incorruptible, and this mortal shall be put on immortality, then shall we be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Death is certain, but we know that we can triumph over death. The fact that God will be with us as we face death and as we sorrow over those who we have lost. In Hebrews, the second chapter, in verse 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And then we would finish the lesson with a prayer on behalf of that one that died. Now, I want you to question yourself. Which one of these lessons would you like to have prepared for your death, for your funeral? We need to be awakened. The writer of Ecclesiastes says, it is a good thing in time of mourning to really take a good look at our hearts. How we stand before God. How are we going to face God the judgment day? And that's what I'm pleading with you this evening. To think about those choices. We either got one place or the other to go to. There are some who try to tell you, well, you'll spend a few months or a few years in hell, and then God will have mercy upon your soul and pull you to heaven, depending on what sin you've done. Scriptures always teach it's forever. It's everlasting. It will never end. And we need to understand that. And sometimes we really don't think about it until we see somebody in that casket. And we need to understand that. We need to think about this daily. Because if you read up the paper, I see different ages. I see where those from the year of 1 year and up. Those who have died over 100 years old. Now, you read it every day in the paper. Those who passed away. And we never know when death is coming. Do you think those people down in Arizona knew they was going to die that day? Those ones that were shot? 9-year-old girls killed in that shooting. There were others that were older. Had no idea their life would end at that moment. Yeah. Maybe because I'm getting older. Maybe because I'm about to lose my dad. But the fact is, we try to keep from thinking about death. When you talk, have somebody come up to you and says, I like to talk about life insurance, especially when Caleb gets a little older and he gets his job, they're going to say, well, would you like to buy a life insurance? Well, I got a few years to live. I'm not old enough yet to think about that. I believe Brother Norman was saying that he got a policy years ago. He's only paying a little bit more, $9
a monk board. Well, I can't imagine a policy being that cheap nowadays. But the fact is, we put off buying such things because we don't want to deal with them. We don't want to talk about it until we have to. We need to start thinking about it. Young, middle age, older individuals. I like to have the last one preach at my funeral. And it could be possible. But I have to remain faithful to God until I die to have that. There is nothing upon the face of this earth that is worth giving your soul up for. If you want eternity with God, you got to give things up. Things that is contrary to God's will. And that's the only way we're going to get to heaven. I'm pleading with you this evening. It's your soul. It's your destiny. And you've got to think about these things. We need to be prepared. We need to consider what condition you're in. We plead with you this evening, as in the first lesson, hear His Word, accept God's Word as being the truth, accept it, become obedient to His will. You must hear His Word. You must believe that Christ came and lived upon the face of this earth, died upon that cross for our sins. If it wasn't for Him doing that, we had no hope of eternal life. But because He came down here and lived and died upon that cross, we have the opportunity of salvation from our sins. You must repent. Be willing to change your whole life. Live for God, not for yourself. Prepare yourself for heaven. You must confess, and not confession. Then He confessed us before His Father. You must be buried with Him in a watery grave and raised as a new creature. We're going to be different in our lifestyle. Live a faithful life to death. You got heaven, it's your home. But we do stumble. We do fall. We do leave God at times. And we need to make it right. We need to ask forgiveness of our sins. If we are brought reproach upon ourselves, upon the body of Christ, we need to repent of those sins. That's the only way we're going to get to heaven. Or you could be a Christian at one point, and we have to preach you our lesson for those who are still alive, because you already lost your soul to eternal damnation. Your soul, your destiny, which one do you want? I hope this has been beneficial to all, because you didn't think a little bit. But believe it, we're all dying one day or another. Be prepared. Are you? Think about those things as we stand to sing the song, Invitation.